A few weeks ago, there was a bus accident. It was in Rib Mountain. You probably heard about it. And in the end, everybody was okay. Some of our parishioners, little kids that were on that bus, and one of them ended up in the hospital. And he's doing really well now. I visited him, and he said it was his first time in the hospital. He had to spend a few nights there. And it reminded me when I was a little kid, the first time I had to go to the hospital. I grew up on a farm, and I was with my favorite dog, and we were out. It was in the winter time, and we were climbing around in the haymow, and then that's the last thing I remember. Somehow, I fell out of the, maybe from 10 feet or so, and my dad found me laying on the concrete. I was unresponsive, and so they had to get me to the car, and I just remember afterwards that there was a lot of fear about, you know, they said it was a really close call. It could have gone either way. It's amazing the things that you remember that stand out. I mean, I was 5 years old. I remember being at the hospital. I got to make a phone call. It's like being in jail, I guess. And I went to school on Monday, and all I had, I just had a little black eye. And it, apparently no lingering effects. Everything is, I don't want you to say a single thing because I hit my head pretty good. But it was a lot of fear, but not for me. I was too little. I didn't know that it was a close call. Thankfully, we have guardian angels. Lots of things happen in the world, especially on farms. But it's apropos of today's first reading, this Isaiah prophecy. It's about death. I've heard that reading hundreds of times because it's proclaimed at lots of funerals. On this mountain, God will destroy the veil that veils all people, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy even death itself. We have to face that. It's a part of our life. We don't like to. We get tongue-tied when we begin to consider mortality. But for us, it's a blessing. It's not a curse anymore. It's the way home to heaven. Each one of us will pass over from this world to a world that will never end. And God wants us to begin to think about that and to prepare for it. I was in Boy Scouts as a kid, and that's the motto, right? Be prepared. I saw another news article. It was about a lady that passed out at St. Matthew's, and these folks were prepared. They're medical students, and so she wasn't responsive. She wasn't breathing. It happened during the homily, no surprise. And anyway, these guys, they knew CPR. They knew how to use the AED, and they brought her back, that she's okay. They were prepared, but the article didn't say anything about, well, was she prepared? What if they hadn't resuscitated her? Was her heart and soul ready to meet the Lord? Is yours? Is mine? I think about that. If I died today, am I in the state of grace? Am I ready to meet? Have I made peace with others? Have I asked God to take away my sins? Am I ready to live with Him? The answer really is no, but am I preparing? It was some years ago, Kobe Bryant, a great basketball player, one of the greatest ever, he and his daughter, they were killed in a helicopter accident. Very tragic. These are the things you hope will never happen to anybody that you know. It came out later that they had gone to Mass that morning. Kobe Bryant and his family, they're Catholics. And he had gone to church first before flying off to this tournament. And so being prepared, that's something that we can all work on. Preparing our hearts and souls to live with God. And these guys are prepared because we're having a baptism. That was a nice, very solemn entrance. And this little girl, her name is Daisy. So we're going to baptize her right after Mass. And that's a huge preparation for eternal life. That's one thing that when we think about that, on this mountain, someday we're going to live on this mountain. It's not that mountain way over there. It's closer than we think. On that day, we don't know when that is. But the Lord wants us to recognize how close He is, how much He wants to help us. So when He comes, we're ready. Another thing we can do is to encourage each other, challenge each other, help each other to grow. That's not always easy. As Catholics, we're not always so, hey, when's the last time you went to confession? That might be kind of pushy, but once in a while we might feel we could say an encouraging word. The best way you can help each other is by living your faith with sincerity and joy. People that go to Mass every Sunday and keep the Lord's Day holy, which is not getting any easier, but the Lord's Day is a day for marriage and family. I was saying I had a wedding yesterday, and I was saying when we were kids, Sunday was Mass, and then lunch, and then go visit our cousins. We'd go visit somebody, seemed like, all the time. I think we're so busy now, that doesn't happen as often, and that's too bad. because that was good for us as human beings, to be together in community and family, a foretaste of the good things God has in store in heaven, to challenge each other, right? One of the guys at the wedding yesterday was saying that his youngest son hasn't been practicing his faith, moved out since high school, really. And so he kind of talked to his son, and he was telling me that he told his son, you need to pray. You got to have an interior life. You need to talk to Jesus. You need to get close to the Lord. Otherwise, you're not going to feel the joy and the peace. Nobody else can give that. And that was his response. He started, a little kid started screaming. But anyway, the idea is we do have to challenge each other to grow, to become holy. Don't you want to be a saint? Don't you like to live heroically? Don't you like to live in a way that the light becomes very apparent? We're not the source of the light, but it can come through us and touch others. The final thing that I wrote down this morning is, so be prepared, challenge others, and expect rejection. Jesus, that's a story that he's telling about. He wants us to come to heaven. And in so many ways, we say, no thanks. I'm going to have my heaven right here. I don't need you. I can do it myself. Rejection is a part of the spiritual life. It's not an easy part. Those moms that were trying to get the label on the books down at the library, some of them were not treated very nice. They were courageous, and I thought they were very charitable about what they were doing. And some people weren't so kind to them. If you stand up for what's right and good and holy, sometimes people get after you. I was at the reception last night before coming home, and this guy comes up, and he'd had a few. Anyway, he wanted to talk to me about same-sex marriage. He was right in my grill. This is right after like a happy day at a man and woman and God. And he starts pushing me, and I said, I don't want to fight. I mean, God made marriage. It's his gift. We don't get to pick and choose. This world is not our sandbox to just move stuff around and make it according to our design. It's God's world. He made it for us. But he's very clear about what love is and what marriage is. And so we want everybody to get to heaven. And in the end, God will have to sort it out. He's the judge. I'm not. But if we want to prepare for heaven, well, that means looking in our heart, examining our conscience, challenging others, and expecting some rejection. I read a book. It's out of print, and so I can share it with you without spoiling it. It's written by this guy, Bruce Marshall, The World, the Flesh, and Father Smith. It's about this Irish priest that nothing ever goes his way. And he's passed over, and everybody else is moving up, and he's not. And then finally he gets a parish, and it's an old church, and it's the worst assignment in the diocese. And then they decide to build a new church. It takes years. But they finally, and this is like the great work of his life. And then the church starts on fire. And he, because he's a good guy, he doesn't see how good he is, but he runs into the church, to the tabernacle, and he saves the Blessed Sacrament. Because that fire was raging, he's badly burned. And they take him right to the hospital, and he's dying. And on his deathbed, he starts to see heaven open up. And he sees it's all true. It's real. God keeps his promises. The last are first. Everyone that tries to follow the Lord, he loves us very much. Even those who don't try, he doesn't love them any less. At the very end of his life, he can see the beginning of eternity. And he wants to tell the people next to him. But already the shoreline is fading, and they're too far away. He can't tell them what he's experiencing. That's our hope, that heaven is real, and our life is a preparation for it. Here we have no lasting city. We're just passing through. God is going to destroy the veil that veils all people, the web that's woven over all nations. He will destroy death itself. That's good news that we can live, embrace, and share with others too.